Over the last year, beginning with COVID survivor Diana Barrett, who founded the group Survivors Corps, we've reported on COVID long haulers, people whose symptoms from brain fog to devastating illness linger or get worse after they're cleared of the infection. But researchers are only beginning to study one of its most devastating outcomes, suicide. In a recent op-ed in the online journal MedPage, the director of epidemiology for the St. Louis Veterans Affairs Healthcare System writes that long haulers are prone to depression, anxiety, and neurological disorders. We must deal with this now to prevent it from ballooning into a suicide crisis. Now, we're going to start and end this next conversation with an offering. If this is hitting home, the number to the National Suicide Hotline is 800-273-8255. And right now, we want to bring in Nick Guta, whose wife, Heidi Ferrer, had unbearable symptoms for over a year and took her own life in May. At just 50 years old, she was a screenwriter for the TV show Dawson's Creek, the mother of a 13-year-old. Nick, gut-wrenching. We're so sorry.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, and Diana of the Survivors Corps called us last week and said this man wants to tell his family's story. What were her symptoms? What was her condition?
Well, pain in her feet and the sort of classic COVID toes, which a lot of people had back then, we thought was just plantar fasciitis. So we went to a podiatrist and he said, I treat this all the time. I don't think this is plantar fasciitis. And he sent her to a neurologist. Her foot got so bad she could barely walk more than just downstairs in our house.
Had she already had and recovered from COVID-19? I mean, did you already know that she'd had that, or was that still undiagnosed?
So we went to get the original cheek swab tests at the drive-thru, and those tests were extremely inaccurate back then. We both tested negative. And later on, she ended up getting a more specific test developed by a Stanford researcher, Dr. Bruce Patterson, who has developed some more specific tests for long haulers who didn't get a positive test early on. And her tests there were clearly definitive enough that her general practitioner was willing to refer her to the long-haul COVID clinic at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. Ironically, that referral arrived the day before she took her own life.
Oh.
The foot pain was the first pain. She started getting very strange intestinal problems. She was getting diarrhea. I mean, she'll be mad at me for talking about that. But she was getting flu-like body aches, exhaustion, walking upstairs. She couldn't even carry a glass of water upstairs. She would ask me to carry glasses of water upstairs for anything slightly heavy I would carry upstairs for her. We had an oximeter to measure oxygen levels and pulse rate, and it would just spike like crazy.
I can't believe how long this is going on. And I know, you know, that she had a blog, her blog, Girl to Mom. Do you have a little bit there that you can share her voice?
Yeah, sure. Let me just, so this is something she wrote. I know people will die from suicide, unable to work. Some are homeless. I know some already have. In my darkest moments, I told my husband that if I didn't get better, I did not want to live like this. I wasn't suicidal. I just couldn't see any quality of life long term. And there was no end in sight.
Yeah. But then she goes on to say, hang in. You know, speaking to other people who might be having the same thing, she says, hang in. This will pass. I believe this in my bones. If you're suffering from this monster, you will eventually make it out. We will heal.
Well, you have to also understand in the last month of her life when neurological tremors started, they were also followed by what she described as an internal vibration in her chest that was so distracting that it kept her from sleeping. If you don't get sleep for that many weeks in a row, it's a reason they use sleep deprivation as a you know, torture device on prisoners of war.
In his study, Post-COVID Syndrome and Suicide Risk, Dr. Leon Scherer writes, there is a high probability that symptoms of psychiatric, neurological, and physical illnesses, as well as inflammatory damage to the brain in individuals with post-COVID syndrome, increase suicidal ideation and behavior in this patient population.
I'm not surprised to hear that. I mean, she said, I feel this fog, you know, coming over me. I feel disconnected. She said specifically, I feel it's crossed over into my brain. I feel pressure in my brain. When they did the autopsy, they found out that she had gotten a fatty liver from the medication she was taking and the diet she was on. A liver can release ammonia into the bloodstream when it's in that state, and that ammonia can get into the brain. If you mix the ammonia with the traditional long-haul COVID effects on the brain, you end up with somebody who's mentally not in their normal state at all. So I'm not surprised to hear his findings one bit. I think that, you know, people who have been suffering from long-haul COVID for 6 months or longer need to be extremely, extremely aware of their thoughts and their mental state, and their family members do too.
You know, there are others. The Texas Roadhouse CEO, Kent Taylor, who took his own life because it just became unbearable. And you wanted to speak. What do you want to say, first of all, to doctors?
Well, the first thing I want to say is when people come in who are presenting multiple symptoms that appear to be long-haul COVID and they haven't had a positive test, assume they have long-haul COVID. It's really, really, really important for their psychological health that people listen to them and believe them. When people feel gaslit, it makes them feel even more alone. And I just think that everybody in Washington is put their head in the sand about this, but this is a tidal wave that's coming. It's a tidal wave. The second step would be advise them on the types of medications they can take, but monitor them extremely carefully, specifically their liver function. Some of these medications can be extremely hard on their livers. When these people come in, and if they've been struggling for months, get them mental health support immediately, and that their families be aware that they're at increased risk for suicide right away. They're already in a state of physical exhaustion. As my wife said to me in the last month of her life, something that just broke my heart. As the neurological tremors started, she said, I feel like I'm a robot that's malfunctioning. And it was hard to argue with her. She had burning in her lungs when she tried to sleep at night. Her heart, you know, the circulatory system were haywire. She literally felt like every single system in her body, including her brain, was just short-circuiting.
What would you want to say to the long haulers who believed her, that she was going to make it and they're going to make it?
Well, I think that anybody out there who's suffering from long-haul COVID, you know, if you're really, really struggling right now and you need somebody to listen, you can reach me at her blog, which is girltomom.com, and I can refer you to people who can help you. In the last week or so, I've been in contact with some of her friends on her support groups who have been getting new medical treatment, specifically at the NIH in Bethesda, and there are some promising new therapeutics that I was just informed of by one of her friends, which is, of course, very bittersweet for me to hear because, you know, this is only a month after it happened and I had told her. I really think that the medical establishment is starting to focus on this and just hang on. And that's my message. Just hang on. If it comes out in the next few months that there's some serious breakthroughs, I mean, you know, obviously I'm going to be happy for everybody who's going to benefit, but it's going to haunt me for the rest of my life.
Well, and this may be too tender. What would you want to say to her? What are you saying to her?
Well, I mean, I talk to her all the time. I ask her for help. I know the pain and the suffering she was in, and you know, I don't judge her for what she did. I know what it took for her to feel that way. I watched it happen, and she really got to the point where she couldn't go on. I can't live in the past. I'm just really just trying to honor her spirit now.
Nick Guta, his wife Heidi Ferrer, took her life in May after suffering for more than a year with severe post-COVID symptoms, leaving Nick and their son. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And again, the National Suicide Hotline is 800-273-8255.